Justice and Drew, your Tuesday edition. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Got a guest-free show today, so phone lines will be open throughout the morning. Plenty of opportunities for you to enjoy and take part in the program. Pete Hegseth, our regular Tuesday guest, will be joining us tomorrow.
Yeah, well, on 8:35 this morning, we have an extensive interview with Sam. So we're just going to
go there.
Yay.
Hard-hitting sit-down interview.
I love when we focus on the most important person on the show.
You're not going to like this one. We've got tough questions.
Do we have any more details of what's going on at 38th in Chicago?
It is so quiet. I'm watching Twitter. I'm looking up all the hashtags, like George Floyd Square, 38th in Chicago, GFS. I'm watching all of them, and I'm just kind of searching keywords, and I can't really see anything.
Channel 5, did we mention this yet? Channel 5 does have a new story up now.
I think we may have. They also had a video that I shared using the hashtag TCNT of crews clearing things up. It's kind of funny because they're using like big, huge equipment to scoop it up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. They've got huge dump trucks now.
Yeah, and it's not just dudes in their little like vans and whatever. They've got big, huge, like, I don't even know what you call those things.
Jeez, man.
The bucket scooper things, and they're just scooping things up and dumping it into a dump truck.
Funny. I always call them tractors, but they're not. I don't know what you...
But people also call semi-trucks tractors. I live in a farm, and I don't understand why...
TCNT. It's just, like one of the most common vehicles you see at a construction site.
Yeah.
And I always say it's a tractor, but I know it's not.
It's not a bulldozer.
It's a digger.
It's a scooper. It's a scooper. It's got like two buckets, and then it comes together.
I feel like we're driving on the highway. We keep missing the right off ramp. Like I feel like there's a specific name for it. Somebody will know. Somebody smarter than us in construction equipment.
Use the hashtag TCNT to tell us because I'm doing the five. I'm not going to answer your phone call.
Again, the most important part of this story. What do we call the machine that's clearing out 38th in Chicago?
It's huge.
Gosh, why do we do this?
Why do we get paid for this?
I have no idea. We'll interview Chad later, I guess.
Let's jump back into Sam's top five for a Tuesday.
Number four.
A St. Paul City Council member says she's disheartened after the city's mask mandate was lifted, and she's pleading with her constituents to continue to mask up.
Good, do that. You wear one, tell your constituents to wear one, and, you know, go cry into your mask.
Yeah, and leave the rest of us the hell alone.
She says, I'm disheartened that the mandate has been lifted when so many of our community members have yet to be vaccinated. Were city council members included in this decision? No. I found out about the news from an NPR reporter asking for my opinion after the fact. Boo-hoo. That's the actual audio.
This is council member Nelsie Yang saying that so many of her community members have yet to be vaccinated. I had no idea there were that many Trump supporters in her district. I had no idea that there were that many MAGA deplorables in her ward, because that's every time I hear about people not getting vaccinated, everybody blames it on Trump supporters.
Yeah.
You know, all you Trump supporters not getting vaccinated. Okay, well, then, you know, I guess why didn't St. Paul go for Trump? At least her ward apparently should have.
It's just ignorance. It's just, in my view, pure ignorance as to it into this virus, into the whole mask wearing thing. You know, it must suck to continue to live in that much fear.
Well, chalk her up. What is it? Ward 6 council member Nelsie Yang, you know, chalk her up into that group of people that simply don't want the pandemic to end.
Yeah.
They like this. They like all of the control. They like the lack of economic activity. They like the government being the only ones that can move the needle when it comes to economic stimulus. They like being in charge. They like being able to tell other people how they can live and what they can wear and what they're allowed and not allowed to do. They hate seeing all these big crowds of people having fun. It makes them uncomfortable, and they want to use every lever of power made available to them to force people to live the way they think they should be living. That's why they like the pandemic so much. It gives them control.
Well, and in a side note story, as we continue working through Sam's top five, some Minneapolis public schools announced that they will move some in-person students to distance learning for the next 3 days because of the extreme heat. Now, I get it. Right. And they talk about some 15 school buildings that lack full air conditioning. Okay, so I understand that, but I'm not going to lie, man. I get concerned over this. Oh, is this how we're? It's either a labeling of it, and maybe that's what it is. Is it like a snow day, right?
Right.
So, like, are the snow days going to become distance learning days now instead of sort of snow days? And is this going to, so is the new, Drew shakes his head. Drew, yes, John, yes. All these things that you're about to say are exactly what's going to happen.
Yep.
So now, whenever there's an opportunity, well, we'll just move to distance learning instead. And so this is sort of the first sign of that.
Say goodbye to snow days. They're gone forever.
Number five.
Guatemalan president is blasting Biden's border policies for enabling criminal human smugglers.
This Kamala Harris trip to Guatemala is going so well.
Yeah.
It's just going spectacular.
She's ticking off AOC. They don't want her down there.
You know, she's handing out cookies of her face to reporters. But the weirdest thing.
But no. It's her face isn't on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not her face. It's just this weird shape of her head.
John, have you seen these cookies?
No.
They are a faceless.
No. I read the story, but I didn't see the cookie. I want to see the cookies.
Okay, so on
cookie?
These cookies.
I got cookie.
It is a picture of Kamala Harris without a face. It is like her head and her hair and her clothes, whatever, but no actual facial features. It's so creepy.
And then she gave them out to reporters.
Yeah, like, she like walked around with a basket.
What the? Why?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, eat my face.
But not really my face. Just my head and hair.
What? You know, the first thing that popped into my head was that there was that famous painting where somebody tried to go and fix it.
Yeah, I don't remember what the painting. It was like a painting of Jesus or a painting of some religious.
I think it was a religious female of some sort, and they tried to go. Oh, no, it was. I think it was Jesus.
And they put like a smiley face.
This looks like somebody just like wiped. Like it looks like it had her face on it, and someone just like nope, and just wiped
smudged
it clean.
It off.
Why would you give? Why?
They were the full story is.
I'm sorry, Drew. The first headline I see is right wingers.
Yeah, of course.
Right wingers got triggered by Kamala cookies.
Republicans pounce. Yes,
these cookies are creepy.
Yeah, they are. They are. But they were gifted to her by some local bakery.
Wait, and then she re-gifted them?
Yes.
What a monster.
Before she left for Guatemala, according to the story I heard or read, the local bakery made those and gifted them to her, and then she boarded Air Force Two and decided that, I'll go give these to the reporters in the back. It's still, I mean, it looks bad giving out cookies with your face on them, but what it's nothing to get outraged.
No, it's
just
dumb.
But it's certainly fair game for mocking.
Of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, the photo that I'm looking at, and I'll tweet this out, but the photo that I'm looking at, so you're right, it's just, it's basically a caricature of her without her face. So she's got a blue blazer, she's got her white shirt, pearl necklace, it's got her hair, her earrings, but then there's no face on it. But it was funny with the one that I'm looking at.
Right.
The rapper has smushed up against the face, so it just looks like this big smudge. Like somebody intentionally. What a fail. What an absolute fail.
Well, beyond the cookies, outside of the cookie controversy, she also has, throughout this trip to Guatemala, she's gone to discuss the, root causes of an unprecedented surge of illegal immigration into the United States since Biden took office.
You know what one of the root causes she learned about when she was there? This is Biden. Biden saying, come on, bring your kids, bring your families. United States, open. Let's go. Come on, migrants. We welcome you.
That's what he said.
That is what he said. And that is what the guy in Guatemala was like. That, you want to know why we're coming? It's because your dude told us to.
Yeah, you had the Guatemalan president blasting the Biden administration for family reunification policies that enable human trafficking and smuggling.
Yeah, that was during the debate. And they said there should be a surge.
Mm-hmm.
Biden straight up.
Mm-hmm. There's your root cause right there.
Yeah.
By the way, we're circling back.
Circle back.
Backhoe.
Is it? No, backhoe just one scooper.
Well, that's Incorrigible on Twitter said about the thing, and he's got Bob the Builder, so I don't know.
Because the backhoe...
So it's got to be accurate.
Well, I know what the backhoe is, because that's just like one scooper on the big arm, and it can do that, except what we were looking at was like two buckets. It was like two of those scoopers put together so that it could grab things like the claw in one of those stuffed animal machines.
Okay, so that's still a mystery.
Yeah, maybe that's a backhoe also.
Maybe
it's just
it
a different
just
attachment.
So, all right. Was that the story? Is that it? What do we know? What the
five? Done?
That was pretty much
it.
Okay. Yeah.
Good job, Sam.
Oh, there were also protesters when she landed.
Oh, that's right. There were protesters when she...
Yeah, her entire visit is not going well.
Her entire presidency is not going well.
At least she's visiting Guatemala. Did she visit the border?
No, she's not been to the border. She's not going to go anywhere near the border. But she did say, and this is why AOC's all mad at her, she was down there in Guatemala, and she was like, don't come.
Yeah.
Don't come to the United States. Stay here. And AOC's all mad at her about that.
Yeah, well, we actually have a really funny story about AOC and her, her abuela. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, a little bit later on this hour.
It is really funny.
Good job, Sam. So, speaking of Mexico, so we know we have our own, I don't know if you know this, Drew, we have our own midterm elections coming up.
Right? Yeah, I'm not looking forward to them.
Well, hopefully they won't be as bad as Mexico's midterm elections, because they took a bloody turn as voters saw severed heads, grenades, and more voting stations on Sunday. The campaign in Mexico's midterm elections is reportedly a very violent one, with 97 politicians killed and 935 attacked nationwide.
97 politicians killed.
According to the story.
What the hell?
Ulysses Ramirez, a left-wing candidate who survived an assassination attempt last month, said two of his allies had been kidnapped, beaten, and released by Sunday's voting. Five polling station workers had been killed on the eve of voting. Local authorities found plastic bags filled with body parts in Tijuana near a voting station.
Oh, my gosh.
And a man lobbed a severed head into the same voting stations as Mexicans across the country cast their ballots.
A man lobbed a severed head into a polling station.
That's voter suppression.
Oh. That would suppress me.
That's.
But John... I was standing in line and I wanted some water and I couldn't find anybody, so I just gave up and never voted.
An attack at yet another station forced workers to suspend voting. Voting materials were stolen in the attack. People said that they would vote and that they would not be intimidated, one voter said. It was ugly. Coincidentally, one of the major issues voters criticized the current president over was his inability to curb the rampant crime in the country. His majority is projected to shrink as a result, with seats projected to drop between 190 and 203 of the 253 and 500 previously won.
That's some hardcore ballot harvesting.
If I had the rib shot, I'd do it.
Seriously, like there are, how many people would be like, yeah, if I could, you know, throw a head at somebody and it would keep people voting for Trump, I'd do it.
Yeah. who was the C-list actress, the redhead who
Kathy Griffin?
Yeah, Kathy Griffin
had the severed head. Yeah, she read this story and she was like, yeah, I get it.
Well, and, you know, and keeping with the theme here, you know, I was on YouTube last night and this Stacey Abrams clip popped up. The Stacey Abrams ad popped up, and it was Stacey Abrams pushing the Voter Reform Act. And she's like, Republicans continue to try to suppress our votes with these Jim Crow 2.0 bills. And this is an ad on YouTube. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you like no. Again, that's totally okay. That gets by the censors. It's completely inaccurate to even come remotely close to calling those that, you know, what Republicans are trying to do versus what the Democrats are trying to do is Jim Crow 2.0. But yeah, there's Stacey Abrams.
Right. You can get away with that. You can say whatever you want if you're on the left. You're not going to get censored. You're not going to get deplatformed. You're not even going to get criticized by anybody of any substance. You know, you go out and you can call these. find me what's Jim Crow. Somebody, please, use the hashtag TCNT. Send me exactly what's Jim Crow about some of these laws. And don't hit me with the, they're keeping people from getting water. No, they're keeping partisan groups from trying to influence people waiting in line. You can still give people water. You just can't do it with a candidate attached to it, you dummies.
Yeah, Drew has spoken.
That's right.
So from the Daily Wire, CNN's Jim Acosta marches to his own beat, as he proved this weekend. This is when he had on the Democrat U.S. Senator John Hickenlooper. If you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, you can watch the video for yourself. But they were talking about the so-called For the People Act. The bill would essentially impose the election standards of 2020 nationwide in a way that the ACLU has said violates Article 1, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. Hickenlooper called the bill, the first one introduced this year by the Democrat-controlled Senate, the holy grail we're going towards. He added, I think it's a little too early to give up on the filibuster yet. This is what happened, though, during the exchange between Hickenlooper and Jim Acosta.
And you're searching for bipartisanship in some new and interesting ways, Senator. We showed a little preview in the tease a few moments ago of you showing off your banjo skills with a song about the For the People Act. Can we ask for an encore? What can you do for us?
I'll do the best I can, but I'm warning you, I am not a banjo player.
It's all right.
The song goes like this. I'm just a bill, just a regular bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. There's a bill here in the Senate called the People's Act.
Oh my God.
It gives power to the voters and not those corporate PACs. This bill will make it easy for voters to have their say. So let's get make elections fair and pass S1 today.
Senator, I think you sold yourself short. That was terrific. That was great. Well done. We appreciate it. And you did it live, too. Ladies and gentlemen, this was not taped. This was done live. We put the senator on the spot. And he brought back Schoolhouse Rock in a new and interesting way there. We'll see if that bill keeps sitting up there on Capitol Hill, though, Senator Hickenlooper.
Oh, my God.
We have more to share from this, because there was another
moment.
It must
be nice to be a Democrat. Life is good when you're a Democrat.
I know. Can you imagine?
You could do that on TV and not get canceled.
We have more audio, including Acosta, who got a little musical prior to that clip to share with you. Coming up. Also, we will get into the story we talked about just a moment ago. Right-wing blogger latches GoFundMe for AOC's Puerto Rico grandmother.
Brilliant move.
According to the Independent UK, though, in the latest personal attack, we'll give you all the details coming up. The sequel to the reopening of 38th in Chicago, which apparently is underway this morning using various construction equipment.
Front loaders! Is what you were thinking of.
Sure.
Is what you were looking for.
Front loaders.
Thanks to a handful of people that emailed that in to JD at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, Scott, RL, a couple others.
Nice.
Front loader.
We have some smart listeners. Yeah. I had no idea what that was called.
Well, I'm just glad that we were able to answer the important questions. So that's
yeah. Look at us go.
Not a lot of coverage this morning.
It's hardly any
compared to the last time, and that might be all part of the plan.
It almost has to be.
I mean, I don't put much past sort of media and DFL collusion, working together in this state, but
for sure not.
you know, I don't think they're really reopening it. And I think that's probably why the media is kind of like giving it a bit of a shrug of the shoulders. I think there's been some barricades moved. But if they're really reopening it, then traffic will start flowing. That's when I'll know it's actually been reopened, that they've actually gotten it back, when buses can get through there, when traffic can actually get through there. Until then, you're just playing a game with these people.
And I don't know, man, who wants to drive through there?
I'm sure somebody does.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure some resident would love to. I'm sure some business would love for people to be able to drive through there and spend money at their establishment.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe the street racers are just looking for a new location.
Yeah, they are running out of areas to street race.
What a weird
byproduct
of what we've gone through. Because it's not just us. I mean, it's happened all around the country. This, you know, these street races have become very trendy, and it's just very odd.
Yeah,
very odd.
I blame the Fast and Furious franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you did that, because it would have been very stereotypical for me to do that. So
I blame Vin Diesel.
It was right on the... Well, you know, we can blame Vin for a lot of things. Matt Walsh, a blogger for the Daily Wire, has taken to trolling Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez by raising money for her grandmother's home in Puerto Rico.
What a weird way to describe an effort that raised, what is it, almost $100,000?
Yeah, they're at $100,000 at the moment.
Yeah.
They wanted $50,000.
If somebody would like to personally attack me by raising $100,000 on my behalf,
you can send it to me.
I welcome this. I welcome those kind of personal attacks.
I'd be cool with that. The strange saga began when Ms. Ocasio-Cortez posted a message on Twitter criticizing the Trump administration for blocking relief money to help Puerto Ricans following Hurricane Maria in 2017. Donald Trump used the hurricane as a photo op, according to the independent.co.uk, during his administration, famously tossing rolls of paper towels like he was shooting basketballs into a crowd of Puerto Ricans who had gathered after the storm. Right. To illustrate the ongoing struggles the Puerto Ricans face, she shared an image of her grandmother's home in Puerto Rico, which she said she had recently visited. The photos show drooping ceiling slats and buckets lined up on the tile floor, presumably meant to catch water from the dripping ceiling. Ms. Ocasio-Cortez said that many Puerto Ricans were dealing with similar or worse situations and noted that it was not only the Trump administration that dropped the ball, but also local policies and authorities in Puerto Rico. She called for changes to the policies and audits for relief spending and for more recovery funding to be sent to people in need.
Matt Walsh saw this and said, it's shameful, you know, that you're living in luxury while you're allowing your own grandmother to suffer in these squalid conditions. And he thought it would be a good idea to set up a GoFundMe to raise money for AOC's grandmother, which he did. He raised almost $100,000 or over $100,000 from people that wanted to help out AOC's grandmother.
Well, and even AOC shot back at him at one point. She said, you don't even have a concept for the role that first-gen, first-born daughters play in their families. My abuela is okay, but instead of only caring for mine and letting others suffer, I'm calling attention to the systemic injustices you seem totally fine with in having a U.S. colony. She's such a hack.
What?
Yeah. Well, they rejected the money.
Why? Why would they do that?
GoFundMe shut down.
Wow.
They shut down the fundraiser. Wow. And Matt Walsh got a message that says that your donations are not going to be accepted. And an email sent to Walsh on Friday night, GoFundMe said that they were in touch with the beneficiary's family. I bet you are. And they were made clear that they will not be accepting the funds raised. Someone in AOC's abuela's family told GoFundMe that she won't take the money, even though AOC previously claimed that her grandmother was in dire straits and that it was Trump's fault. AOC still hasn't acknowledged the effort or thanked anybody. They got the email from GoFundMe turning down the money, refunding all of the donors, to which I could think is that that was not her grandmother's house. That was some stock photos. She's just lying.
Yeah. That makes all the sense in the world.
And Matt Walsh called her out on her lie And now she made her look like an idiot, because here you are. Here you have this generous effort by a bunch of conservatives raising over $100,000 to help out her grandmother who's living in terrible, squalid conditions. Who would turn that down?
She could not have anticipated that was what was going to happen.
Who would turn that down? If your grandmother was really living in dire straits and squalid conditions, would you really turn down $100,000 in money raised on a GoFundMe to help out? Because you could use that for the entire community. It doesn't just have to be for your grandmother.
Yeah.
You could uplift that entire community. You could rebuild houses. You could do renovations, repairs. You could get storefronts, you know, looking nice again. You could do a lot of good with that money, but no, because it came from Matt Walsh and I don't like him, she basically gave him a middle finger, turned it down, and now there's a bunch of Puerto Ricans going, well, what the hell?
Well, and that
we could have used that.
And to your point that it was probably not her abuela's home.
I don't think it was at all.
No, I don't think it was either. Because there's a dozen other ways that AOC could have maneuvered to come out on top with the people that support her. In light of this, right? She could have shifted the focus over to the people who donated, right? She could have expanded upon that donation. But it also, it points out too, just as a reminder, you know, and it's kind of a hacky example, but it works. The whole Sarah Palin, I can see Russia from my house, mm-hmm. right? That never happened. That was just something that was done on SNL. That was never a thing that Sarah Palin said. And yet AOC was caught standing in front of a fence crying as if she was witnessing the horrors of what was happening with immigration, only to have it turn out to be proven that she was just crying at an empty parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cared. Well, I'm sorry. Republicans pounced.
Republicans pounced.
Yeah. All right.
Anytime Republicans get upset at something, it's, you know, that's the story, not the actual thing that happened that might have upset a Republican.
Well, we're going to pounce on this. Ilhan Omar really hates America.
She really does.
She cares even less about Minneapolis and had some.
She doesn't hate Minneapolis. She just doesn't care.
She doesn't care about Minneapolis.
She hates America.
Right. She hates America.
Minneapolis, yeah. Last time I checked, was still a part of America, despite the best efforts of everybody involved at George Floyd Square.
Wait until you hear what she called America this time. And based off of what she's saying, why are you representing this horrible, awful place?
Yeah,
why are you in the position that you are? Why would you go and why would you do that?
You're allowed to leave. You know, nobody's going to stop you.
We have an update here on Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, also on your smart speakers and the iHeartRadio app. I just tweeted a video using the hashtag TCNT of an individual who actually drove through 38th in Chicago.
Okay.
So Minnesota Boring Radio also tweeted out, crews returned to George Floyd Square in South Minneapolis today and once again cleared barriers to reopen the intersection shortly before 7 a.m. Cars were seen driving through 38th in Chicago, though there are efforts underway to block the street again.
Yeah.
Look, not surprising.
You're never going to be able to keep it open at this point unless you have somebody there keeping individuals from going and blocking the street.
Someone who would enforce something?
Well,
enforce.
violence disruptors is what we're talking about. People out there to give. Here, to put the barricade down, let me give you a hug. Put the cone away. Share how this makes you feel.
Right.
That's what. No, you need the authorities. You need the police out there with their police cars, with their squad cars, and their spinning lights going, no, you're not going to put that there, or we're going to arrest you because you cannot obstruct a roadway. I know. This isn't hard. Apparently it is. And this is going to be a thing now. It's going to be, what day of the week is it? It's Tuesday.
Right. Time for
our third attempt.
Yep.
To open up 38th Chicago.
Yep.
Again.
You have to take it back or not. Yeah. I mean, you
got a broom on a beach.
This is not going to be
shoving back the tide.
Done nicely. I don't see any way because they're, you know. Marsha Howard has spoken.
Marsha Howard's made a life and a career out of this.
Marsha Howard has spoken. No justice, no streets. She said they're going to have to kill her to take it back.
She's got a TikTok racket, by the way, man. She's got her whole spiel down. She's got a whole, she's got her whole
greetings
TikTok.
From GFS.
Yeah, right.
Give me a break.
Yeah. No justice, no street. Got to get it in there because you're only allowed so much time on TikTok, right? Isn't that what it is? You're only allowed like 15 seconds to say what you got
to
say.
I refuse to let the Chinese track my data, so I don't download it. So
Same here. I'll go to their website, but I won't like create an account or anything.
Yeah.
And I won't download it.
Representative Ilhan Omar yesterday appeared to place America in the same category as the Taliban and Hamas.
Yes.
Saying the U.S., Israel, and the terrorist groups have all committed unthinkable atrocities. She hates, really hates America and cares even less about Minneapolis.
She should just move somewhere else.
She could.
She did.
Out of the country if she hates it so much.
She probably has another brother she could marry to help get immigration into some other country. But maybe, I don't know. I'm speculating.
But listen, this isn't, and I'll bring it up again, this is not that far of a cry from what we keep talking about with critical race theory. It's the same type of mentality, right? Is that your opposition, right? You blame everything on your opposition. You make them substandard to the point of almost being subhuman, right? And you vilify and you demonize them in order for you to gain more power. You don't even have to justify it. And here she is out there, man, talking about how the U.S. needs to have the same level of accountability and justice for all victims of crime against humanity. We have unthinkable atrocities committed by U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. I asked the Secretary of State where people are supposed to go for justice.
Here.
Yeah.
Here. Come here. It's the best place to be. Is it perfect? No. Is it flawed? Yep. So are human beings. Everything human beings create that involve social interactions and us dealing with one another is going to be imperfect and flawed because it's made by us and we're imperfect and flawed. But you know what? The American experiment is our best effort yet on this planet.
Yeah.
It is the best effort yet, and it should be applauded and treated as such. You want to be treated fairly? You're going to have a better chance here than anywhere else in the world. You want justice? You're going to have a better shot at it here than any place in the world. You want to improve your station from a Somalian war camp to the United States Congress? You have a better chance here than any place else in the entire world. Okay? And that should be recognized and applauded. Ilhan Omar came here because of the opportunities that this country presents to everybody. We don't care. Across the board. White, black, Asian. Doesn't matter where you're from. Sexual orientation, whatever you identify as, doesn't matter. We try to treat everybody fairly here. And we try to give people justice here. That's why everybody comes here. They don't come here because of the unspeakable atrocities that this country has committed. You don't see mass migration from war-torn, ravaged countries to Afghanistan. You see it to here for a reason. And I wish these people would just take a moment to recognize that and appreciate it instead of constantly trashing this country at every chance they get.
And she doesn't have a leg to stand on to even do that without being just a complete and utter hypocrite. Look, Brooklyn Center, that's your district.
Yep.
38th in Chicago, that's your district. North Minneapolis, South Minneapolis,
uptown,
that's that's all you, man.
Everything.
Ilhan, that's all you. You want to talk about atrocities?
Yeah, go do something about all the atrocities that are happening in your district.
Her representatives can't even go out onto the street without having to worry about whether or not that's a backfire from a car or a gunshot. Blocks are closed off. They can't even open up the square in there. You have young people dying on the streets a weekly and daily basis, and yet she's silent over all of that. Doesn't even visit it.
Nope.
Doesn't even talk about it. Nothing.
Instead of asking Secretary of State Anthony Blinken where people are supposed to go for justice, why don't you go reach out to the parents of the 6-year-old who was killed by stray gunfire, or the parents of the 14-year-old, or the parents of the 9-year-old, or the parents of any of these kids that have been killed or struck by gunfire in your district, and let them know where they can go to seek justice, Ilhan Omar.
You got CNN. This is from last week. an analyst on CNN said, Republicans can turn rising crime into a culture war wedge issue, according to John Avlon on New Day, CNN's morning show. And as we turn the corner into summer, which is usually an increase in violence, crime, public safety, is again front and center in people's minds after decades and decades. Democrats are going to have to deal with it or risk political backlash. He also covered something the media regularly ignore, the fact that law-abiding people have increasingly become targets in their streets, their communities, and their own homes. Major American cities saw a stunning 33% increase in murder last year, he said. He asked viewers to contrast that with the steep and then steady murder decline America saw between 91 and 2014. And the violence is far from over, he warned. The spike in homicides, assaults continued in the first quarter of this year. Not only that, but the number of police officers who have been shot in the line of duty stands at 141 as of May 16th, and 24 officer fatalities this year is the most year to date since 2018. And look, a big contributor of this, which doesn't get talked about nearly enough, and this comes from Jason Rantz on Substack, in their zeal to defund police departments across the country, Black Lives Matter, fellow activist groups and other radical ideologies haven't yet realized what they're doing is racist by their own definition.
Yep.
The cities that defund the cities that the defund movement has hit the hardest have seen a remarkable increase in crime. BLM-inspired policies to reimagine the criminal justice system routinely result in more hardened criminals being quickly released from jail. The victims of these crimes, the very minority groups the movement claims to ostensibly support. Last year, Portland City Council voted to disband the city's gun violence reduction team. The result was that the homicide rate in Portland rose 800%. The majority of the victims were black. In Seattle, the city council ran out the department's first female black police chief, then cut the budget by 20%. Officers have abandoned the force in historic numbers due to the politically motivated attacks on the police. Predictably, Seattle saw a 26-year high homicide rate. And while the black population of Seattle is about 7%, black victims accounted for 49% of all Seattle homicides. And consider the BLM-inspired policies where repeat offenders get off scot-free. Not even held on bail because cash bail is racist.
You talk about, you know, disproportionate impact, and that would be the argument that they would use a lot of the times on the left to strike down a policy they would like. They would just find, well, it impacts minorities harder. It impacts the poor harder. It impacts women harder. Disproportionate impact. What is the impact of these policies? What is the impact of the deprioritization of public safety in all these cities? What is the impact of the defund the police rhetoric? And who is it hitting the hardest? Mm-hmm. It's hitting the minority and the poor communities the hardest. Therefore, by their own logic, what they're doing is exceptionally racist.
There was a homeless man in New York City who was accused of a random vicious sucker punch attack, had been arrested at least 17 times prior to the incident, and his victim was an Asian American. One suspect in Los Angeles was arrested on suspicion of car burglary in South Los Angeles, one of the most racially diverse communities in the state. He was released within hours without bail. Later that evening, he was arrested again for allegedly stealing a car. He was again released, only to be rearrested 2 days later. Put simply, the BLM strategy is not working. Police violence against communities of color is statistically low. Crime against people of color from actual criminals is through the roof, but ignored. The defund movement and depolicing policies it supports have had a disproportionate impact, just like Drew was saying, on the people of color. So why are BLM activists ignoring reality? Because the movement is built on fringe political beliefs, beliefs espoused by activists blinded by cult-like views. And that's where...
Blinded by cult-like views. Uneducated cult-like views.
And that's where you get your Marsha Howards from.
Yep. And that's where you get people, you go around and ask. Remember the audio we played from George Floyd Square where they just asked people walking the streets, how many black people do you think were killed by police in the last year? And they would answer thousands.
That's right.
That's what your movement is built on.
Yeah.
That's the type of ignorance and misinformation and flat out lies that your entire movement is built upon.
You know, and we haven't gone down this road in a while, but again, these are all the conversations that we should be having, right? if you're going to, you know, if we talk about the reopening of 38th Chicago and the autonomous zone there doing that thing with my fingers, but there's also ample opportunity to have really good discussions within the community about what that has brought upon the city and the ramifications of it, right? And you can do that without having to play politics. You just use common sense. Our leadership's never going to do that. Our leadership's never going to go and point this out. Because the truth of the matter is, you could actually expose that really radical Marxist wing of what Black Lives Matter stands for, right? Mm-hmm. And probably get something better out of it that espouses what most people think Black Lives Matter is about.
Or should be about.
Or should be about, right? They're in, like if you're a part of that movement, you should be like the one individual from St. Paul who was a part of Black Lives Matter going, here's the ugly truth of this. It's not what everybody or what the majority of people think that it is. This is a radical activist organization that is trying to push Marxism on the streets of America.
One of their tenets is the dismantling of the nuclear family.
Yeah.
The dismantling of the nuclear family. Do you really think any lives matter? If Man. One of your goals is to dismantle families, you don't care about lives. If your goal is to dismantle families, you care about power.
That's all families, man. That's all families. That's all families of all makeups. It doesn't matter.
If you cared about Black lives as much as they claim they do, you would be putting a much harder emphasis on the concept of family, because statistics across the board show that kids that grow up in a stable nuclear family environment are less likely to get involved in crime, are less likely to have dependency issues, addiction issues. Yeah. I mean, across the board, their lives are just better, just across the board. Every study and every statistic will show you that. So if you really think Black Lives Matter, if you really care about Black Lives Mattering, you would care about restoring the concept and strengthening the concept of family, of fatherhood, of motherhood, of nuclear family, of raising children up in a stable family environment. But you don't, and that's why you're not.
Coming up, we've kind of touched upon this right now inadvertently, but latest economic data does show that red states are crushing blue states, and we'll give you the reasons why. Also, we'll discuss whether or not it is a good idea that you will soon be able to use your phone as an ID at the airport.